it.
In the dream, there was a brown snake that was coiled around a stick.
I remember every detail of the dream.
It was on my bed, and that's the bed that I had when I was a little girl.
A grass field swaying in the hissing wind. The inability to speak or walk.
I was trying to see it because it wasn't moving, so I was trying to see if it's alive, and I kept going closer and closer and closer.
This experience drew me back to being a child.
I stayed on my own.
I moved a step towards it.
I was the only one who had a key to it. So we arrived
and then another
at the door.
And very thin green snake.
I opened it up.
Leapt up at me.
Believing that my dream spoke of truths and futures beyond my comprehension.
I was really embarrassed because the mirror that had been screwed directly into the
wall. It was jolted and I woke up.
Was lying on the floor, face up.
And unlike many other dreams and nightmares,
completely in one piece, not damaged
at all. It did not step out of my memory within the first 5 minutes
of waking. That green snake appeared again in a dream 2 years later.
I didn't quite know what to make of it.
I kept telling him, can you take the snake out? It's scaring me.
I didn't mention it to my friend. I just quickly kind of picked it up and
drifting
tucked
between
it away.
Knowing it was a dream.
He brought it to me.
Feeling like it was never
far removed. And he forced
me
to look at it in the eye. And I refused to look it in the eye.
Silly conversation
he
about something else.
Put it to my stomach. 2 days after that, I found out I was pregnant.
And what is true and what is real is always a blurred line to me.
I mean, how do you explain that?
In grade 3, I moved to a new school.
There was a particular evening in my apartment where I was alone.
And I made friends with a girl who was in my class.
I was 10 years old and I woke up and I just didn't feel like myself.
We became very close.
And I remember I did a very crazy drawing. I can't remember what it was that I drew.
For no reason whatsoever.
Almost like letting the sun shine on me, but I could feel that part of me is moving away.
A sense of deep grief overcame me.
When we got to high school, we started drifting apart.
But it was particularly her loss.
We hadn't spoken in many years.
The loss of my grandmother that overcame me.
My brother came and he said to me, well, Mum died.
During a dream, I found myself in an old house again.
It prompted me to put in words.
And I didn't really make that much connection at the time.
And her dad was there.
But then when my father also died.
We were very small in comparison to him. He was talking to us about something quite strange.
A little girl, silly and blonde, picked up a brush and watched you.
And I had the exact same feeling where I woke up and my body was numb.
She smiled with joy in this new delight.
All I wanted to do was to sit by the window and just let the sun
soak me. When I
awoke,
I had an overwhelming sense that I had to contact her.
I had this feeling of something leaving my body.
Only to tell me that she was very ill in hospital.
And I made that connection of the spirit world or the spiritual connection between my parents and me and how I felt when they were leaving the earth, for example, or when their soul left their bodies.
No longer a girl, less silly half-blonde, picked up her brush and missed you.
My mother was always a very passionate woman.
She smiled with joy in a hopeful delight that you now watched her from your sky blue.
And when things would go wrong or were difficult or challenging, she would
the following
be very
week,
expressive.
I took to reading the poem at her memorial.
One time, one of many times.
None of
time,
them knowing that it was written preceding her death 2 weeks before.
Don't be sad because I know your daughter.
I was about 8 and I refused to
when I was
go to school.
About 7 years old.
We're both singing this song, and I decide to turn the radio on.
Went screaming
and the radio's
bathroom,
on a station that I don't usually have attuned to.
She's been
to.
With me this whole time, so I know her
in
and I know who
dream,
she is.
There was another presence.
And as I turned the switch,
I could see him in my mind's eye.
Homeless, homeless, a moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake.
What she was actually doing was
or rather
drawing
a presence that
around the
wasn't
bathroom.
Supposed
this
to be
exact
there.
Track is playing.
And I could see him holding the hand of a little girl.
Mom, how did you do that?
Wearing a yellow dress.
So when she died,
kind of crystals started dropping off the side of
things
the bed.
Started to break. And no one was ever hurt in the process.
Throughout the next couple of years, it was a recurring thing that I dreamt
it
about.
It was very pointed.
I was looking for my mom.
When something would spontaneously break.
I couldn't find her anywhere.
Or explode.
Later that evening, she came into my room and closed the door behind
her. A plate,
her.
A candlestick, a picture falling off the wall.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was just my dad.
we look at each other and it's like, oh.
And she said, yes, I know.
Adele is here.
She was in the garden eavesdropping on my father's phone conversation.
Broken things have become a comfort.
And my parents did get a divorce.
This is where my love for broken things has come from.
When I was about 10 years old, my aunt gave me a pendulum.
I woke up really early.
And those movements would be born of your own natural vibrations.
I had this crazy dream, like a distressing dream, where I kind of realized that I may not be able to see him again before he dies.
Had those dreams again.
As soon as I opened my eyes, quite distressed and disturbed by it,
I wrote a text message to an old friend of mine. I'd been listening to a song.
I looked at my phone and there was a text saying that he'd passed away,
which was based on an old spiritual.
And it always struck me as just, yeah, some kind of connection with him at that time of all times.
And I said to the pendulum,
and it was a remix, and my friend and I had sung this song together in choir.
I've had a number of experiences in my life where knowledge has arrived in a way that is beyond the logical.
Show me which pack the Jack of Hearts is in.
Used to get into hysterics when singing this song just because of how jarring our version of it was to kind of what.
And it would swing ever so slightly to the right.
I dreamt that my best friend had a baby, and it was quite clear in the dream that it was in August.
So I discard the left pile, and with the remaining pile,
I
split that again
to my friend
in half.
With the link to that song.
Could swing, let's say, ever so slightly to
the
left.
I woke up with a great sense of delight and celebration and wonder.
So I would discard the right pile.
Must have been about a month ago. Her mother died very suddenly.
And then I realized that August was 10 months hence.
And say, show me the Jack of Hearts, and it would swing to the right.
The day after, or the day that I heard the news, I wrote to her immediately, also on a text message.
It was probably not a prescient
dream. So on
dream,
and so forth, until there were only two
except
cards
that
left.
5 months later, she sent me a letter.
She read my old message from March at the same time.
Show
she
me
read
the Jack of Hearts, and it would swing
and
slightly to the right.
And she said that she was pregnant, and the baby was due in August.
And the song, and the name of the song, was "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child."
That particular sense
I
that I was somehow
the left card,
in deep connection
flip the one
with
remaining
my friend
card over
before conception was a wonderful affirmation of a kind of sense of energy across the planet.
It was the Jack of Hearts.
I studied Western classical piano performance in Cape Town.
A few years ago, I visited New York City.
And I applied at some conservatories in Germany.
One of the days, I walked down Broadway Street.
So I used to go to this book sale, and I wasn't even looking for specific titles, but I was looking by author, looking by...
And down one of the side rows, I found this small
bookstore.
A
pianist known for his recordings of some of my favorite pieces was on the faculty there.
There were all these amazing small
I would lend
independent publications.
Upon titles that I thought were really interesting.
I woke up on that day with
a
really bad cold.
I spotted this one.
And
it had a very striking cover.
Entered the room to see
each,
this
the,
pianist.
The first page had this name. And this kept happening maybe three times.
A portrait of a man with a woman on his shoulders facing the opposite way. I decided that this is going to be the book that I take home.
And they all belong to this person, this gentleman, whose name
and
I now forget.
This pianist said, just play the fast ones.
My honest opinion and my friendly advice is this.
They weren't interested in any of the contexts from which I came. Just whether I played enough right notes to become an apprentice to one of them.
Do it or do not do it. You will regret both.
My great-grandmother.
The experience
was
of
a
coming
writer.
Across books that were in someone else's book collection.
About a year after returning, a friend of mine who happens to work the same college called me over.
When she was 100 years old, I took my 4-month-old son to meet
her. Remarkable way of coming across meeting someone in that way also.
I've held on to the mixed feelings of this moment.
I see that she's got it on her screen. Odysseo, volume number 3.
She held my son in her arms and felt that
the exact issue
had
that I bought in New York.
Little way of connecting with him. Now, a few years later, I'm doing a master's in Berlin.
She was completely blind and deaf.
And delivering food on a bike to get by.
She suddenly got a light in her eyes.
I was near the end of a late shift, around the time I start talking to myself and making up strange songs.
And she played Chopin on her piano for him. It sounded like it was a professional concert.
I came up a street close to the Philharmonie. And when she died, my uncle inherited the piano. I saw a man making his way to cross the street, but he decided that he wanted the piano to come to South Africa. I made eye contact and smiled warmly and gratefully as I let him pass. One day, my daughter was about 5 and she was playing the piano. And then I remembered I'd seen this pianist in front of whom I played Ligeti. And she suddenly stopped playing the piano and she looked at me and she said, "Mom, I suddenly feel so, so sad." It was a confrontation with the path that I'd taken as a pianist. And we couldn't work out why. There was no reason why she should feel sad. And a way to overwrite my relationship to this almost stranger who I once thought could be my teacher. And about half an hour later, my cousin phoned to say that my uncle had just passed away in the previous hour.